An 8-year-old boy approached a man who was at a wishing well, and looking up and into his eyes, he said, "I understand you're a very wise man. I'd like to know the secret of life." The old man looked down at the youngster and replied these words. This is a true story. "I've thought a lot in my lifetime, and the secret can be summed up in 4 words. First is think. Think about the values you wish to live your life by. Second is believe. Believe in yourself based on the thinking you've done about the values you're going to live your life by. The third is dream. Dream about the things that can be based on your belief in yourself and the values you're going to live by. The last is dare. Dare to make your dreams become reality based on your belief in yourself and your values." And with that, Walter E. Disney said to the little boy, "Think, believe, dream, dare." Our church was born in 1883. You look good for being 134 years old. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Right. Wow. That's a legacy, right? It was in September. A small group got together. They wanted to start a church here. It's back when this state was a territory before we were even a state, right? 15 years ago, a group of the staff here got together to work on a vision. And we adopted a vision which was FBCC exists to honor God by developing completely committed Christ followers. We've lived that dream. We've seen people growing in Christ. We've seen people change for Jesus Christ and reaching people for Jesus Christ. We've lived that dream. Our staff's changed, right? Got younger. and love these guys. When they came on staff, we started talking about, where's our church going? Well, what does it mean to be a completely committed Christ follower? Oh, what does this mean? And realizing that, we need to re-envision. We need to, for unity, for clarity, for direction, we need to get together and work on this. And so it's time to work on some kind of a vision. What does God have for us now? And there, the Bible talks about a couple ways to do this. One, Moses went up on a mountain, and he came back with some tablets. Anybody remember that story? Right? That's one approach. Didn't go with that one, by the way. Okay? The other approach was team. Was working with a group of 12 disciples. 11, one kind of like, well, Jesus was pretty good, batting average, right? You know, 12 disciples, and he gave them a vision. God gave them a vision to a team. Right? And so, what is vision? You understand what vision is? All of us have a vision. Vision is this picture in your mind of what you think the future should look like. You have a vision? Some of you have a vision for your children. A vision for my children. Dream for what I hope for their future. Not only do I have a vision for my children, I have a dream for what their spouses will look like. Not like physically, but the dream of the personality and the traits that I desire to see their family look like. I have a vision and a dream for what I hope their future, preferred future, looks like. And if a parent has that vision for their children, shouldn't a pastor? Shouldn't elders, shouldn't leaders in a church have vision for where they want to see people go? Well, that's what we're presenting today. What does it look like? What was it look like for us to get there? So when they ask this question, great question, processing, what is a completely committed Christ follower? That's what comes out in our vision and our values and our measures. Three things you'll see today. Okay? Let me throw you through a couple of things that I've kind of already done. We put together a team. This is our team. So a team looked like this. I was part of this team. Notice you got some young, some old, some new to the church, some have been here for a long time, some tall. I'm short. That's why I'm behind the camera. And so, right, that puts us there. And so that was our group. We met for over 13 times for about 2 to 3 hours each time. A lot of meetings that started in January this year. We went through, a few years ago, I went through a visioning process called Church Unique. It was offered by Mission Northwest, our area region, and they put us through some training. It got really, really complicated about how do you do a vision frame and how do you set up vision. And so in order for it to get simplified, it has to get really complicated. And it began through this process of looking at your local predicament. The local predicament kind of says, what are the opportunities, unique needs and opportunities in your community where God has placed us? You got to ask that question. Then the collective potential. What are the unique unique resources that are in your church that God has brought us together. And then not only that, what's your unique passion? What's the passion of the leadership in your church? And then when you bring those three, they overlap and they get, what's your part? That middle part, that's us. Where when all those come together, that's us. And so we were encouraged to look at our community, to take a mile circle around your church. We couldn't really quite do a mile because Shayla's is really a weird shape, by the way. You ever notice that? I mean, you got a lot of like, it's the weirdest. It really works really good for those churches that are in big cities, right? And so we have to kind of, we'll adjust this concept of the 3/4 mile concept towards point number, value number 5, by the way. And so we kind of did a look at this. And one of the things we did notice at this point is that all of the schools in our local area will be within that 3/4 of a mile radius. And so this isn't defined us, but it did give us something to think about because it got us thinking outside ourselves. The church, we need to think more outside of ourselves. How do we make an impact on the world around us? We need to be thinking about how do you make an impact on your world? And so that's pretty important. So as we processed a whole bunch, we thought about what's the verse for our church? What's the most important verse for our church? What's a good verse to think about that really gets us? Who are we? Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Go ahead and put one more up. There we go. That's it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We really got to the point that we want this church to be about inviting everyone. Not just Shehalis, by the way. Everyone to do the three things that Jesus said most important. Love God, love others, and make a difference, make an impact. Make an impact in your world. Why love Jesus then? Because boy, we live in the Northwest and people define God in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? We want to be very specific. We're about loving Jesus. Because Jesus is... A few of you know the answer. Thank you. Right? Jesus is... God, right? I'm glad more of you know this second time. Okay, third time, Jesus is... Okay, more of you are awake. Great. Okay, see, love the Lord your God, which is Jesus, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Mark adds, with all your strength. And that's our vision. We want to be inviting people. That's your neighbor. That's your coworker. We want to be inviting all of them to love Jesus. All right? So, and how does that paint out? What does that look like? Well, we have values. And we talk about values. What are the values in our church? Now, here's what we're going to do. These guys are going to each do two values, and I'm going to take one value. And so I'm going to transfer it, the ball. You got the – who's first? Nate's up first. So I got this. You're first. Go.
Guys, a lot of this vision, there's values behind us that press us forward, that define what we do. So we believe that we are serving God, the creator of the heavens. Amen?
Amen.
So when we put this vision in place and the values behind us, our starting assumption is here. That Jesus is God. We said that. The creator of the heavens and the earth. That means he's the authority. We could basically sum up in the first 3 words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Otherwise, we're just saying stuff. We're just giving you our own ideas. But these are things that we believe God has put on our hearts. These are things we believe that God has for his church that we found in Scripture. And that this team has worked through and sifted through. So these we believe are from God. We are the Lord, we are King. So here's the first value behind our vision. And that's because it's mean to God. Because Jesus is Lord, we humbly strive to put him first. Notice this, there's this movement. In all of these, we'll see movement in each of these 5 values that we have. And the hope is that we're growing, that we're on this spectrum. It's not a one-and-done deal. We're on this spectrum from living a selfish life, that I am Lord, that I get to do everything on my own, to serving Jesus as Lord, and humbly striving to put him first in everything. Just last week, Pastor Mark talked about in 1 Peter 3, it says, set apart or revere Christ as Lord. And that's what this is all about. Jesus is Lord, therefore we do what he says. We don't do what the world says. We don't do what the popular trends say. We don't do always what the majority wants. So we do what the Lord calls us to do. In our own lives, And that's all subjective. Word and what he has. And again, that word strive, going back to that first point, we're on this process. None of us have arrived. When I became a pastor, I didn't all of a sudden step into perfection. Pastor Mark has been here for 17 years. He still hasn't reached
it. Amen. I got it before you did. Yeah.
We all agree that we're all on this spectrum working to give our lives so completely. So that's our first value. Because Jesus is Lord, we humbly strive to put him first. Now, if we stop there, we start to sound like this rigid religion with a God that's very demanding of us. But we read Scripture and we see that God is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So then our next value is from loved to loving. So this creator God, who's sovereign over us, who has every right to be ruler over us and tell us what to do, loves us dearly, each one of us. And hopefully we've experienced that and felt that in our hearts and seen that in Scripture. But we can't just sit there in that love. It's like a pond, right? A pond that has no water feeding into it is going to start to go stagnant. Things are going to die. It's going to become a mosquito infestation, right? But if we allow God's love to flow into us and then to flow out of us. So we're loved by God and we start to love others around us. Because Jesus first loved us, we respond by loving him and others. In 1 John 4:19 says, we love as he first loved us. So it's that spring of love from God that flows into our hearts, gives us this deep reservoir of love to draw from, and then flows out to the rest. And life flows out from there. You want to be a mosquito bog that kills everything around it? Or do you want to be a life-giving presence being fed by the spring of the love of God? That's one of our number two values.
Three is me. All right.
So, which makes sense if you look at it. Third one is from taught to transformed. You will know if you've ever been here when I preach, I like to teach. It is one of my gifts. Not only do I talk to you about like living it, but I want to teach you what the Bible says. I'm constantly trying to bring the Scripture depth to you and understand it to you. But sometimes we can grow so much in knowledge that we forget that it's not just about head trip or head knowledge, but it's about life transformation. And so we want to come, and you'll notice each of these, I move from life being about me to life being about God. I move from me just wanting to experience love to me loving other people. And I want to be taught, but I need to be transformed. God, I need you to do a work in my life. And because Jesus is, because of his teaching, the Holy Spirit, when it hits me, it's telling me, you got to be changed, Mark. Ultimately changed. In Romans, Paul tells us in Romans that he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you're going to get knowledge coming into you, you got to be changed. It's got to make a difference in your life. You cannot be the same person you were 4 or 5 years ago, 2 years ago. If you're not changing on a regular basis, then you're not being humble and submitting to the Word of God. I need to be growing because that's what I've been called to be in Jesus Christ. I need to be producing fruit. I need to be living out what's happening in my life. And so it's important for us to recognize that. You know Peter's last words in the second letter are this. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, don't just grow in knowledge. In fact, grow in grace first. I've met a lot of really smart, old, grumpy Christians, more than I wish. And I wish I had met a lot more grace-filled Christians who are less critical and more loving and more grace-filled with people who are struggling that are new in Christ. And that's why I see that we need to be not only taught, but we need to be transformed. Value 4.
I guess I've had a lot of day quill in the last couple of days, so if I say anything weird, that's why. Serving. I'd like to spend the remainder of my time talking about how you can serve in student ministries. My application is fill out an application.
So serving, what is that idea? What does that mean? We went through the Gospel of Mark together, gosh, about 6 months or so ago. If you remember the key verse in there was Mark 10:45. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The Son of Man did not come to be served, oh, there it is.
But to serve.
But to serve, right? Yeah. Hey, I love you, man. You're awesome. To give his life as a ransom for many. That's the idea. The theme is self-service. Give of yourself. When you think about Jesus and serving, there's a lot of big iconic stuff, right? What's some of the big stuff that Jesus did? Think about Jesus serving people. There's huge stuff out there, yeah. Oh, man, he fed thousands of people, right? Yeah, tell that to your wife, right? But she's like, I don't know what to make for dinner. Water game quote. Feeding a lot of people. Water to wine. Jesus' first miracle. Blind people, lame people, mute people, dead people. Mm-hmm. Jesus transforming them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus serving them. He also did small stuff, though, too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus listened really well.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus listened cross-culturally. He listened to different genders. He listened to his grumbling disciples, 12 guys who struggled most of the time. Every day to understand who he was. He got down at the end and washed his disciples' feet. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus did the big stuff, he did the small stuff. So the question is, how are we living out this theme? If Jesus is our example, how are we serving in the way that Jesus served us as well? How are we doing that? There's a bunch of stuff you could do. I know my wife, even, she's here. Since she's been here, ladies have called her and said, hey, I'd love just to go on a walk with you. You want to meet me and we'll walk on the trail. And that's been so good for her. I have to watch the kids, but for her it's awesome. You know? And it's huge. Some of you are in a place where you can give up your time. Maybe you've got enough money. When Amanda and I are first married, we cannot afford to even split a Starbucks. Some of you are in a place where you can totally have someone out and buy them a Starbucks and just sit down and talk and encourage them. You can pray. That's a huge way to serve. The big stuff, the small stuff. You have gifts. You need to figure it out what to do. This is a great example for that. So that's the fourth one. The fifth one, call to sin. Yes, most of you are sitting here going, what I don't have to do, right? This is missions. There's a verse here, the Great Commission, where Jesus talks about going out into all the nations, right? This huge verse. And I used to hear that all the time at like missions conferences and stuff like that. And so I would automatically go, oh, that's something I don't have to do. Anyone come to church and have like a list of things that you have to do and things you don't have to do? Usually I'd look at this one and think, oh, this is something I don't have to do. I'm not going to go be a missionary. But unfortunately for you, Nate made this awesome slide. Do we have that slide? It's all the circles. It's awesome. We could just look at it. I only have 3 minutes on this, so I could just share that for a long time. Here's the idea. The idea is that Jesus has called us into a relationship with him, and he's sending us out where we are, to tell others about the person of Jesus. And so these are some of the big areas around us. And if you just think about the impact that you could have, first of all, if you just started to do relationship with people, like just life with people. How many of you guys know all your neighbors' names?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, it's easy, right? If you just start by going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start getting to know the people that are around me. I'm going to start getting to know people so I can tell them about the one person that makes the most. Jesus. And if you're sitting here going, oh, what's the problem? I lived in the same neighborhood for 10 years and I don't know my neighbors. Here's the trick. You ready? When you see one of the spouses out getting mail, you go, man, I don't know what it is. I totally forgot. What's your husband's name again? You know, oh, Phil. Oh, that's right. Of course, Phil. And then you see Phil out the next day and you go, man, I totally spaced. What was your wife's name again? Oh, Suzanne. Oh, perfect. There you go. And you just go, right? It doesn't matter. It only gets weird the longer you do it and ignore it. Someone's mowing their lawn and waves at you, wave back at them, right? Jesus. Okay, Jesus came so that we can know him. That's what he did. Who are we getting to know?
Yeah. Right with that last barrel I used to there. Called descent, meaning I'm encouraged to invite people as I get to know my neighbors. And I've seen you do that around here, too. Ask them, hey, what's your wife's name? Yeah, that's good. Now he's caught. No, I didn't. Now they know your secret. Shoot, I wasn't supposed to give that one away. That's awesome. How do we tie this up? You know, it's great to have these, and this is almost all the way done. We're actually going to get it done on a little bit of a heavier cardstock and maybe even glossy so that you can have these as bookmarks in your Bible that if you were to talk to somebody at a Starbucks and say, "Hey, you go to church, what's your church all about?" Boom. This is our church. This is what we are all about. Check it out. This is what we are trying to help people be changed. And we can see it's a really easy way to talk through what the gospel is, talk through living for Jesus. And in the back, now our vision is broken down simply into three circles. Love Jesus, love others, make an impact. We've got some questions. These are questions, I'm not going to read them all to you, but they basically really kind of ask you, am I changing? Right? How? Right? Am I showing love? Right? How am I showing love? Right? Am I taking Jesus with me wherever I go? Those three kind of questions, you know, really ask me, have I accepted the invitation to know Jesus? And am I following up on getting to know Jesus? What does that look like in my life? And, you know, asking ourselves these questions every day are, you know, how am I doing this week on loving Jesus? Then how am I doing on loving others? You know, what am I doing with loving others? You know, if I've accepted that love, how am I loving others? What does it look like? You know, am I showing love to people? How have I done that this week? I asked you last week to show kindness to people. You know, did you remember? Did you do it? Were you kind to anyone this week? Did you forget? You know, and your wife nudges you going, "No, you weren't kind at home." So, whoops. Okay. Right. How we do that? How do we show love for others? Just looking at this occasionally, just how am I doing? You know, these are self-reflecting questions that when you ask God, "God, how do you grade me on this?" And then, am I making an impact? Man, how long has it been since I've talked to somebody about Jesus? That was that question last week. You know, if I act like I'm not married outside of the house, how's my wife feel? If you act like, you know, you don't know Jesus outside of church, how's Jesus feel? You know, am I taking him with me? You know, do I talk to other people about him? And am I inviting people to church? Am I, you know, serving in the community? Just some of those simple questions. And if we were to live this, if we were to take this home and to actually live it in our lives, would we be changed? Do you think? Maybe life would be less about me and more about Jesus. That's when we talk about what a completely committed Christ follower is. That's it. That's where we're going. At least we're distilling it down into a few words. So that's the sermon for today. How do we follow Jesus? How do we become different? Let's see. I got a minute. We did this fast. We did pretty fast, right? True story. I'll close with this one. True story. After selling his pickup, 22-year-old Wesley French, decided he wanted it back. So Wesley and a few of his friends mugged the new truck owner, beating him over the head with a 2x4. Then Wesley and his friends fled the scene in their getaway car, a green Nissan 240SX. The muggers thought they had a foolproof plan to avoid the police, so they covered the green Nissan with a fresh coat of black spray paint. Really smart, right? By changing the car's color, they were able to outrun the Washington State Police for 5 hours. Unfortunately, Wesley and his buddies headed north in Washington, and they never made it to Canada. Okay, that's where they're headed to. Because they didn't bother to change the North Dakota license plate. The police easily spotted their getaway car, and Wesley, they were caught just north of Bellingham. So close, but yet so far. Okay? And so they were sentenced to jail, and according to the news, quote, now, this is what the news said. Now he might be making license plates. And so, right? It's ridiculous when you think about that, right? That someone would actually try that. But how much more crazy is it for a Christian to try to change the outside with never changing the inside? Folks, when we talk about what it means to be a Christian, it begins inside. From life being about me, selfishness, to life being about Jesus. From me saying, I have been loved, and I only want love, to saying, oh, I need to be loving to other people. To say that I just want to be filled with more knowledge, to saying I want to be changed and transformed. to the point of going, okay, I've been served. I've come to church and they take care of my kids and they hand me a bulletin and they give me coffee to, wow, maybe I should chip in and serve too. And not only that is if I've been invited, maybe I need to go and invite other people because God's given me that responsibility. Folks, we're encouraging you to take on the full gospel of Jesus Christ, not just the part you like. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, you have brought us together to be a place of disciples, to be called to be your family, to be your church. Lord, we can spray paint, we can put makeup on, we can dress up and look real nice and play the part of a Christian, or we can let you do the work in transforming our hearts and changing our identity and changing who we are so that we are your people. Lord, as we have seen yet again a vision that you have given for this church to develop completely committed Christ followers, that Lord, you will continue this work in us so that we will do the work of inviting others, everyone, to love Jesus, to love others, and to make an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.